My thought tonight is a spiritual mind. I think there's quite a conflict between a spiritual mind and a carnal mind. One of the hardest things that I've run into in different meetings that I've been in, for one thing or another, is to try to deal with a carnal mind in a spiritual way. It can't be done. There is always a conflict in it. To look and see what is spiritually obvious cannot be transmitted to a carnal mind. Say it this way. You ever known somebody that got old and was right at the verge of death? We say, as we see that, why don't they seek God? Eternity is right there. Possibly moments away. Why would anyone not want to have those moments taking care of their soul? That's coming from a spiritual mind. Not a carnal one. A carnal mind is always reaching for more of earth. Right? More fun, more enjoyment, more life. Never the death, but always the life. You ever have anyone, I have it regularly and have it on my saved life. People want to know why I do what I do. I've always tried to give them an answer, but I almost always leave them kind of shaking their head about why I do what I do. If the Lord hasn't touched you, In a way that you know what I'm talking about, it won't make any sense to you for me to try to explain. I've had people that wanted to know why I dress myself the way I do on a hot summer day. And I attempt to tell them some reasoning of why I would do that, and I leave them going, I don't get it. There's no way to tell them there's no way for them to identify or know that I was a very immodest person until the Lord dealt with me, until the Lord saved me, done something inside me, made me look at things different. I look at things, I never got convictions in my life about things. I never had convictions before. How am I going to relate to somebody that don't understand that I got a conviction in my heart over something? And it doesn't matter about the rules or the ways or anything, that God done something for me and I cherish it and I want to hold on to it. I don't aim to diminish it in any way, but I want to enhance it. A carnal mind seeks the thoughts of the earth, but a spiritual mind always is looking to the heavenly. It's always the spiritual mind seeks God. It searches for God. It searches it in all that it sees, all that it comes in contact with. The spiritual mind is always looking for God in the events of life. A spiritual mind is seeking for God's. Where is God in this? I'm on a journey and I look and say, I look to the left and He's not there, and to the right, He's not there. I look ahead. I don't see Him, but my heart is searching for Him. Then I hear a word behind me. The direction is there, but spiritually minded, is a search for God. It makes us do things that the earth can't understand. It will never understand it. We would like to say, because someone has heard it, they ought to know it. But the carnal mind can't receive that. I would think that somebody that's old and obviously dying, that knows and has some understanding about God, would just explode with enthusiasm for God at that. All that they could have to reach for God. But they don't. A lot of times they don't make any motion at all. That carnal mind doesn't reach for God, doesn't search for God. So how then can it understand the things of God? I'd like to start with the scripture in John, the third chapter. This is very, very familiar scripture. In first verse, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus is an interesting character in the scriptures. Nicodemus was obviously a man that recognized that he needed something. But Nicodemus didn't have the something that he knew he needed. But he knew he needed something. He was interesting. He obviously was a man of standing. He was a man that was important to those that was around him. He was high up, there's no doubt about it. But yet, with all that he had going on in his life that could have made him say, I'm it, I'm okay, I'm something, something nagged at him. Something pulled at him inside, a desire for something that he didn't have. He had an understanding, an honesty, I think. I don't think Nicodemus at this point has a spiritual mind. I think he has an honest heart. He had an honest heart. He wanted something that was going to help him out. He says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. That is purely coming from an honest, not an agenda, not a debating spirit. It's simply coming from facts that we know. I know and believe, and not only I, but our whole religious system is based on that you couldn't do this unless God be with you. They all ought to have been looking at the same principle that he was. Because nobody can do that unless God be with you. But he was honest enough to come to him. He snuck by in the night, but he still came to get something because he needed something. He wanted an answer. But I want to tell you, Nicodemus couldn't quite understand. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I can't, and you can't either. There is a veil to the whole world, to the whole carnal mind, to all that's there. Unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom. You can read the book, but the book says, of the book, that it is spiritually written and must be spiritually discerned. You can read what it says, but you can never get what it means. You can't really ever fully know it, really understand it. He says, unless you be born again. And no doubt Nicodemus is starting to do like the people always done me. I don't get it. What difference does it make? The way you dress like that. What difference does it make, all these things? What difference does it make? How can I say what difference it makes? Unless you know. Unless you have some understandings. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How are you going to follow a spiritual person with a carnal mind? Do you know that God, we're on just a little bit of God's creation? Folks, we don't know anything. We really don't know anything. We think we do, but we really don't know anything. There is so much more to God and His creation that it'll take eternity to know. We don't know it. But He says here to him, how are you going to chase the Spirit? You know the effects of it. Nicodemus, have I said anything to you yet? Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can it be like that? I don't get it. I don't get it. To be born again, I know I was born once, but to be born again, and then Jesus answered it so beautifully. That is which is of the flesh is flesh. I had a mom and dad of the flesh. They brought me forth a fleshly being, and he said to him, but that which is of the Spirit, brings forth that which is of the Spirit. Nicodemus, it's so plain. And yet he said, how can it be? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe me not, in other words, I believe this is what this is talking about. If I made this beautiful illustration of things that you can understand of the earth, of your parents bringing you forth, I gave you an analogy that you can understand. There's a parallel. And Jesus did it all through His ministry to try to get people to understand. He used things of the earth that we plant, we reap, we understand how to grow a garden, how to get it, when to get it, how to get it. We've observed the ant, go to thou ant, thou sluggard. He used all of this in His Word that He can say to us earthly things. But we didn't believe it. He done it all, and He gave him a beautiful illustration of earthly things that relates to a spiritual event, and he couldn't get it, and he said, if I told you those things, and you believe me not, then how? How then, he said, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? How are you going to understand and know? How are you going to be able to grasp and get a hold of things that there is no earthly parallel? It's a language of angels. How are you going to understand the things that's deeper? How are you going to understand the incredible mysteries of God that goes beyond the earth? And how you understand the earth? Surely there's a parallel somewhere, but I don't know what's in the depths of the seas. I don't know how all the universe works for him to make a parallel to me. I don't understand it. So how he's saying, how are you going to understand it if you don't accept the earthly things? You know, that's the way the world goes through life, never being able to understand if they don't have something that they can get, something here that makes sense. The carnal man chases the world. That's why people chase the world. That's why they want earthly things, is because they're carnal minded. Give me those things, and never do I understand or see. I've had the great challenges that we have to try to explain, but how do you explain to someone when they look and say, a simple procedure might save this person's life, and yet that person rejects it? How are you going to explain that to the carnal mind? When that soul is reaching for God, looking for God, taking the situations of their life and saying, Lord, I see you there. You're in my life. I see you there. I want you there. Lord, I'm looking for you. I'm not looking for an out here. Listen, folks, I'm not preaching something that's not well established. It's very well established in the Scriptures. All Stephen would have had to have done was kept his mouth shut. Why didn't he? Because he was looking, full of the Holy Ghost, it was seeking God. And it was witnessing to God, into the counsel of God. His life wasn't dear to him. You've got to be kidding me, Stephen. You could have lived a good long life, possibly. And you gave it up like that so foolishly? That don't make sense to a carnal mind. It don't make sense to a carnal mind. And you, there's hardly no way to express what that is. Scripture over in Romans. Eight and one. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To try to gain the spiritual at the expense of the old flesh. Ever read the story of George Mueller? Oh, George Mueller was an odd character for his day, I think. He got a hold of something one day called God and was determined that he was so real and so right that he was going to prove it in his life. And that he was going to have faith in God when it didn't look like he ought to have faith in God, but he had believed in God anyway. And he made it a point in his life to say, my life is to prove God. So he started out to do that, and there was those that criticized him. Well, now, you can surely go, and if you work for certain channels in certain ways, you can get the funding that you needed to do. And George Mueller kept saying, you can pray it too. Told God is going to pray it. Brother Mueller, don't be so stubborn. Don't be so hard-headed. Don't be a fool about this, that you have to keep doing that. But over and over, he proved God. Over and over, God come to it. The man believed God enough to put him to the test, and God didn't let him down or fail him. But those looking on didn't understand it. Why not? Because they had never been in such a place. The carnal mind looks to the carnality of it. It looks to the world. It looks to the ways that we can figure and the things that we can do. But the spiritual mind seeks God. Where is He? Where's God? How's He working in this? I want to see Him. I want God to do something for me in my life. I know that I'm going to be odd. I've resigned myself to some oddness as far as the world goes. I've already done that. I resigned myself because I'm not going to understand that I'm seeking something different than what they're seeking. It doesn't make sense of the things that we do. It's not supposed to. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, wait there. God sending His own Son? The carnal mind looks at the death of Christ as a failure. The carnal mind looks at the death of Christ and said, how cruel a God we must have. You ever hear anyone say, That is horrible. His Son? He allowed His Son to die on a cross? What kind of a father is that? If I had the ability for my Son not to die on a cross, He wouldn't die on a cross. So what kind of God do we have? Understand the carnality of it? But that's not the spiritual truth of it. I thank God that His Son died on that cross. Jesus said of Himself, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. He knew what it would take for you and I. You think of the idea of somebody suffering. We're repulsed at that. That's an awful thing. Nobody would ever want to suffer. I want to tell you, the Scripture is full of it. I've thought of many times, if I was going to try to start a club or a movement or some way to get people into a group of doing something to the same, one thing I surely wouldn't do is tell them, if you come this way, that you're going to suffer. I don't think anybody would go. But the Scripture says, they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. What kind of a movement is this? You're laying out that if you come this way, you're going to have to suffer. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be looked as all these things, and you're going to do it anyway. If you have a spiritual mind, because the spiritual mind is seeking God and the closeness to God, and you know where He's at. Yeah, in the suffering, the persecution, in the problem, in the storm, in. Paul was a great example of this. I marvel by what he done. Through God, through the grace of God, Paul was able to show a great example. I imagine all the apostles did, but Paul's writings and what he went through shows us such a vivid picture of a man with a spiritual mind. He wanted this thorn in the flesh gone. He had a right to pray. God had been real to him, answered his prayer, so he went to the Lord and said, remove this from me. Pray 3 times that the Lord remove it. But the Lord didn't remove it. But he told Paul, I'm going to leave it there. Lest you be exalted. Sent a messenger from Satan to buffet you. What? Buffet me? Get me out of here. No. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And in your weakness is my strength made perfect. And Paul rejoices. Thank the Lord for the thorn in the flesh. Because now I feel Christ greater than ever. The spiritual mind searched for Him and found Him in the situation where the carnal mind would dismiss it and leave. Would reject the idea of it. Multitudes of religious people are going on in a carnal mind, never accepting the will of God that God has for their life. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, now listen, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Well, what kind of things? That I'm comforted. That I feel good. That you don't say nothing bad about me. That my reputation is intact. That I'm honored. That I know if I don't, there's going to be problems. I do all the things of the flesh to take care of the flesh. It's fed. It's took care of. It's nourished. It's made to look good. I'll do whatever I have to do to make it do that. People follow the ways of the flesh, of all kinds of the outward appearance, that it can be what people think that they want it to be. They follow the flesh. But the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, where the Holy Ghost leads, is where I want to go. Is it possible that God could allow in my life the possibility of people not liking me? Fairly likely. Yeah, in person, could there be such of a thing that Marty Clevenger wouldn't be liked? Well, I'm a jovial person. I like people. I get along with everybody. That means everybody's going to get... Is it possible that God may say, do that? God may allow things into my life. It's more than barely possible. It's a guarantee. That's going to be the way. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. If you live godly, somebody's not going to like that, and they're going to persecute you, but they generally don't know what they're talking about, so don't worry too much about it. It's just the way of it is. As a matter of fact, there is a way to be glorify God in it all by seeking God through the Spirit, having a spiritual mind. Folks, we miss it. We miss it so many times. We miss the point, the idea of what this thing's about. We look sometimes, I'll give you an instance. The Stephen comes out. Apostle Paul's there, no doubt. Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, preaches to them. And he says some pretty straight things to them. You killed the prophets, your father's dead, and you're the sons. And you give them a good going over. He told them the truth. And they got mad. And they started throwing stones, and they couldn't throw them real good with their coats on, so they handed them to a guy named Saul. And he held them for them. But I'm going to ask you this. Who won there that day? Who won? The carnal mind says the rock throwers won. The man come off and he spouted off and he shouldn't have, and so they stoned him to death and good for him. And the guy that lost was the guy that got killed. No. He didn't lose, folks. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He sought it. His spirit sought it. He found it. And at the end of it, he went to be with the Lord. How much victory can you get out of that? But only because he saw it in the spirit. He sought it in the spirit. His spirit went that way. The losers was the rock throwers, folks. The rock throwers lost. We get it so wrong so many times. He made heaven. They didn't. Unless they found repentance in their life. Well, Paul ended up getting there. But how many of the other ones did? Do you suppose? They lost, folks. They lost. See it for what it really is. They lost. When somebody comes up and persecutes God's people, they lose. They're losers. They're children of the devil. We got to see it right. Lord, help us. But it says, the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. That's plain, isn't it? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And why? Folks, I'm going to tell you why I found that to be. For when your mind seeks God, that's the ultimate. Nothing can get me now. As long as I stay with the Lord, I'm absolutely a winner. You might look at me and say he's a failure. He don't amount to much. You can think it if you want, but I'm telling you, if I'm with Christ, I'm a winner. I'm a winner all the way through. God's on my side. God's going to take me through. There's no losing for me. And there's no losing for you. When I seek to be spiritually minded, why is it life and peace? Because I can't lose, no matter what you say. You can only kill me with rocks. You can only kill the body, and you can only do it once. And I'm glad he only gave us one life to die. Because I don't want to die over and over. One is all you're going to take from me. And then I'm a winner. But you honestly, read the Bible and tell me if it's not true. People gave their lives. Literal. Not figurative. Not just, I give the way I do things. No! People gave their literal lives to God. You use it however you want. You burn me up. You burn me out. You take me now. You take me later. Take me young. Take me old. Lord, I'm yours. Use me however you want to. That brings life, peace, and life. What else can it bring? I ain't got no battle in it. It's the Lord. It's the Lord in the battle. My carnal mind, it's death. I can see the death running in the carnal mind. It's confused. It causes trouble. It battles for things. It's an awful place to be in. It's not logical. The world's running off of a carnal mind, a carnal nature. There is an inherent problem with humanity. It's a carnal mind. It's carnality of people that seeks for its own good at the destruction of its brother. It's got to have its comfort in its ways. But the way of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's a natural in opposition. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. All right? That brings it down pretty close. That's where it's at. To be carnally minded is an enemy of God. But you say, I love the Lord. I know the expression. But the deeds are against God's work. It's against God's ways. I'd like to think of a few people. I mentioned Paul. He said, when I am weak, then am I strong. He said in Philippians that he suffered the loss of all things. He done it willingly. He gave it up. That he might win Christ. His heart, his mind searched for God. Where is he going to be found? He's going to be found in the loss. In the loss of my flesh, I'll find God. Then I will lose it, he said. I'm willing to lose it. I count it all as loss. Do you know that he said to them, I suppose it does carry down to us today, but it especially was true for the Jews, the Hebrews, because he challenged them. If you think you've got something to boast of, I got more than you do. I got a pedigree. I'm the guy. 8 days of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised. Pharisee of the Pharisee. As touching the law, blameless. You can't lay a finger on me anywhere. I sat at the feet of the best teachers. I'm high up in this thing, and I count it all loss. I count it all dung. It's worthless to me. But I found something else. That was the flesh. I found something in the Spirit. I found Christ there. I found God, the reality of all that I ever heard starts making sense. Took a while, but my mind had come around, and now I understand them old scriptures. I understand what it means. Now I understand something about my own life and what I got to do to be saved. He said over in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, I'm ready to be offered. Now, how many of us tonight can say, Lord, I'm ready to be offered? Why could a man say that? He knew what he was facing. He knew. Old Paul's head's about to come off. You know what? I'm in a strait betwixt two, he told him in another place. My desire is to go on and be with the Lord. You really think that's that real, Paul? That you can really hang that much on it? Do you tonight? I mean, be honest. Do you really tonight? Is heaven real? Is the things of God real? Is it really true that it's better off when we step over this to the next? Is it really? Do we really live our lives like the steps better? Is it really worth dying for? Is it worth suffering for? You know what I've found? I found that there's something about the presence of God that takes away the suffering anyway. It doesn't... I don't know how to say it. Again, you'd have had to have experienced it. It's not that it don't hurt. It's just that it don't matter. It really don't. The first time I got sick, really sick, when I get a fever, I have a tendency to have problems in my mind. If I get very fevered, I think strange things and hallucinate kind of. Well, the first time, I wanted to trust the Lord. I just wanted to. And I got sick about a year or so after I was saved, maybe two. I got really sick. You know, it was just so glorious. I was really sick. I had the flu, and I can remember that I felt really bad, kind of really bad. But I felt so good that the bad didn't matter. I felt so in touch with God. God so overshadowed that I knew I was in, I mean, I was having pain, but I would love to go back there. I would just love to go back there again and feel the realness, the closeness, the blessing. He comes and does those things for us many times. But I know what Paul was saying when he said, I'm ready to be offered. I know what he means. I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. This is what I lived for and what I've looked for and what my whole hopes and dreams and everything's been about. The Spirit has searched God and found Him. And now I'm anchored and I'm ready to be offered. I hasten the day of the offering. I hasten it because of the glory and the reality of my Lord in my life. And it seeks it all the way through. My burden is this tonight, folks, that we wouldn't be fence walkers. Spiritual-minded people aren't fence walkers. Carnally minded people are people that wants to say, I want to be known as religious, but I want to walk nearest the world that I can. But spiritually minded people search for the things of God in their life, and whatever will bring that to me. Just what I want in my life. It doesn't matter the ridicule that comes along with it, or the death that comes along with it. If it's what God's about, it's what I want in my life. I want more of the Lord in my life. The more of the reality of the Lord in my life. There was another man, Moses. When Moses had come of years, he refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. What kind of character is that? The greatest nation on the earth at the time, this guy's an heir in there, had all the comforts, all the servants, had everything, and he refuses? What was he thinking? Well, I'll tell you what he was thinking. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ higher than the things of this earth. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he accepted the things of God. And that seems so foolish. We naturally ask this question, the fence walkers would. Could he not have done both? Why couldn't have God delivered his people through a prince in Egypt? Could have, couldn't he? Wasn't his plan? And I'll tell you something. We've got to go with God's plan, not our plan. The human mind always, the carnal mind always wants an out on the things that's going to suffer. The carnal mind always though. But Moses didn't look at it that way. He wanted God. He wanted the reality of God. He wanted to know the God of his fathers, the true fathers, the heritage of who he was. He wanted to know that God. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob. He wanted to know the God of Joseph, the brother. Now he wanted to know that. So he said, forget Egypt and all its splendors. I want to know God for myself. And he refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. But he embraced. He embraced it. He esteemed it. He lifted it up. Lord, help us to do the same. I can't turn down much because I'm not much. But I can embrace. I can embrace what God is. The three Hebrew children just bow. What difference does it make? Just bow. You bow and nobody's going to remember whether you did or you didn't. Right? Who's taking the count here? They wasn't going to bow. It seems so foolish. You're going to die. You're going to die. You know what's the truth? They didn't die in the furnace. But you want to know the truth? Most do. That's right. God delivers. God delivered with a mighty hand. But most of the time He don't. Most of the time, those go on through. Let me read you a scripture in Hebrews. 11th chapter of Hebrews. Of those of faith. It says, and what shall I more say? 32nd verse. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and all these. And who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness and attained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. They didn't... What? I'm going to have to read that one again. It says they... Not accepting deliverance? You mean deliverance was there? There was a walk? They could have walked out? There was a way? Out? They could have walked out? It didn't say that God would have turned off? It didn't say that they wouldn't have been saved? It just said that there was a deliverance set there before them and they could have walked through the door? And they said no. The carnal mind says, you fools. How many times people have said to me, said, Marty, you don't have to do that. I know, I don't have to. I want to. I do it because, you don't have to do that to be saved. Maybe not. But I want to do it. I want to do it. That's what God wants of us tonight, folks. He wants a want to do it. These people, if I could get a club of the expressions here of being delivered and the armies are putting the armies of the enemy to flight and all those, you can get something that way. But when you go a little farther and find out there was those not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection that they had in them, I want the power of that resurrection. I don't want a weak, this must be the thought, I don't want a weak or puny hope. I want a great hope. Lord, I went beyond the call of duty. You know, they give the highest medal in the land to those that it can be proved that they went beyond the call of duty at the risk of their own life to save others. Those kind of things that they was get the highest honor can be bestowed. They said, I want the highest honor that there is in the resurrection. I don't want to accept that. I want something better, brighter. I want the brightest thing I can have. I want Jesus. You know, this is a way to tell them, Jesus, you know, I really believe this, because I can walk here. I can walk here and have days of the earth, or I can go on and have a brighter resurrection. And they chose the brighter resurrection. And no doubt those that were around them said, fools, the whole lot of fools. But the Bible don't call them that. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain without the sword, they were what with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received the promise. These individuals sought God. For the flesh would have never have done it. The carnal. Carnal people have to go through all these things too, or many of these things. But these people were the people that sought the Spirit at the expense of the flesh. They gave their lives. And we're in 2013, but I think the requirement's still the same. The carnal mind is death. A spiritual mind. Where is the Lord? Am I here tonight by chance? If God got something for me, possibly in a meeting like this, God would have a special nugget for me. The things that happen to me, I know of many things that I've done that people have said, it doesn't bother me, but people have said, what did you do that for? Because I dealt with God, and that's the way I please Him. That's why I do it. Well, that's the way I do it. I don't put this on anyone, but I dealt with the Lord about the last vehicle we got, the van out here, and the one before it. They were fairly new when I got it, and I dealt with the Lord about it. God gave them to me, and I said, thank you, Lord, for giving me the vehicle. But what kind of insurance should I put on this? Well, now, God just gave this to me, and now is He God enough? How am I going to do this? This is my faith. I won't put it on you. But I've had people shake their head at me. If He's God enough to give it, He's God enough to keep it. And I said, I'll put what the law requires, and I committed and prayed, Lord, thank you for this man. This is a work vehicle for you. This is your work vehicle. And oh, the years that the Lord has protected them over and over, and oh, when it should have been something happened to them, they didn't, by miraculous hand. I can testify to it. I have sought God and seen Him. And I'm not pinning it on anybody. I'm just saying, it got God there for me, and I seen it, and the testimony was there. My testimony is God's real. God's real in our lives. To have faith in God. To trust in God. Our morals. How I dress. To wait on the Lord. How many challenges have there been? You're doing what? I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, you better not wait too long. I'm waiting on the Lord. You better do something. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on the Lord. That's foolish. Do something. You've heard me tell the story. I had a guy that got mad at me, come pounding at me, hit me with his fist, had a gun up to my head, gritting his teeth, his finger white on the trigger, ended up hitting me in the head with it. I had people said, "Well, Brother Marty, you should have done something." I could have. I could have killed him before he got to that, but I had the mind to it. I could have got out and fought him in the dirt. Could have done that. But it come out better this way. The Lord took my part. Oh, it wasn't pretty, and if anybody would have stood around with a carnal mind, they would have said I was a loser. But I wasn't hurt. And I went away saying, "Thank you, Lord. I wasn't hurt." So you can say, you done it wrong. And if there's a better way, I want to learn how. But the spiritual mind seeks God. In the events, Lord, where are you at here? Is this a time to wait? Or is it a time to move? Is it time to run? Is it time to... What do I do? How do I do it? I don't have to answer to you all in judgment. I got to answer to God. That's where I want to answer. That's where I want to be free. I don't have to fit a creed, a mold. I got to please God and answer for myself when it comes to judgment. That's where I want to live my life. Jesus said, if man smite thee on the cheek, turn also to the other. We want to make that figurative or make it mean something else, but it does mean what it says. To face loss. To face loss and say God's in it. The loss of what? There was a man in the Bible that feared God and hated evil. And through the events that you're aware of, he lost his children. He lost his possessions. He lost what made him who he was. A king. He had the things that are around him. And he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." In the middle of the calamity, the spiritual mind sought God. It looked to God where all the others came and with the carnal thinking of the minds and the intelligence. Folks, we live in an intellectual world. Very smart these days. We've got a lot of answers. Got these little gadgets around that I said something to somebody the other day. Well, I'll tell you who it was. It was Brother Clint. It's been a few weeks ago. But we was driving along. We was at the Vanceburg meeting. Camp meeting. We decided to go get us a Frosty at Wendy's. So we're driving along and he says, Gus said, "Well, where's Wendy's?" And I said, "I know where it's at here." And he pulls out his smartphone. And I'm driving and he's on this. And he said, it was like a competition. Who's going to get it first? Where's Wendy's? He asked it, "Where's Wendy's?" And I said, I beat it on that. I said, it's right up here on the left. I got it on that. So he comes up with another question. He asked some question. And anyway, it was amazingly quick of the information that he was getting on this smartphone with the thing. You know, we're intelligent. So that's the way we solve our problems. Through an intelligent mind. They're getting better, ain't we? I mean, we are getting better. We got the economy fixed out. We don't have, from this point on, no more economic problems in this country because we're smart. And so there's no more of that. We got that figured out. Now, we have dysfunctional people figured out, so we've got an answer, right? Got the DNA. We know what causes those kind of things. Got a good solution for it. Going to be a better world now for it. Well, we can about eliminate murderers, thieves, all those kind of things. Because it's all DNA that we can take care of. We're smart enough to take care of all of our problems then, right? You know what the problem really is? It's inherent. It's in the heart. It's in the carnal mind. It's in a carnality of people that, you know what? There's one answer to it. One answer to the whole problem. All the problem wrapped up in one. There's one answer to the whole problem. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The whole thing come down in a nutshell. You must be born again. Folks, I'm going to say this in closing. I believe this with all my heart. The things that God allows in your life, I'll say me too. Many of them have slipped by me. And I never got the benefit. Because I wasn't in the mind to receive it. I didn't see God. I didn't search God. But in that place, in our lives, He's allowed you to get there. He works with those things, and those things in your life are designed. If you have a spiritual mind, Lord, help us all to have a spiritual mind, a mind seeking for the things of God. Lord, put that spirit in us that seeks back for you. Who can know the things of God except for the Spirit of God? Can you or I, through intellect, do it? No. We'll never intellectually get there, understand it. What is the deeper things of God? Oh, we haven't even understood the fraction of it yet. There is so much more. There is things, how could you explain it? I think that the language of the Bible is spiritual, and it's so, I mean, is the streets really gold? To be honest with you, I don't care enough for gold. It'll make no difference to me. I like ground better. I like the earth. I mean, I do. I like ground. I like the earth. I like grass. I don't know if I want to walk on gold. I don't think that's what it's meaning at all. It's trying to relate. It's trying to relate to a natural person something. It takes a spiritual mind to begin to understand the value and the meaning of what God's trying to do for our lives. And He loves each and every one of us. And He wants that contact. You pray for me. I want to be thankful.